All right, Fresh Life, this weekend in our Summer Fruit Series, we are going to hear from none other than Josh Bowers, one of our Kalispell campus pastors, keeping things under lock at the Liberty.
Yes.
So exciting, Josh. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and thank congratulations.
You.
Brand new marriage.
Yes. May 1st.
The wife right here.
Yeah, there we are.
Absolutely beautiful. It's you and Emily. And we're so excited for you guys. Now, you have been a part of the Fresh Life team literally since the very beginning.
Yep. I was here on day one and helped a friend move up here to start the church. And then I was back in Albuquerque after that, but moved up to
and that
be a
friend
part.
Bailed, but you came back a year later.
Yes.
You led worship at our very first Fresh Life worship experience. Gone for a year. You've been here for 7.5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this throwback. This is absolutely amazing. Coy and you and me, I think you and I were, we were not missing very many meals back then.
No, we've definitely changed our eating habits.
Now, yeah, that's right. Now, let me ask you this question, Josh. What does this, what memory in Fresh Life history does this make you think of?
Ooh, there was a time, at a staff like retreat, winter staff retreat, where we were all like hanging out in the hot tub, and then we'd go out into the snow, and then back into the hot tub.
And we had a race.
We had a race to the top of this hill.
Yeah.
And most everybody bailed. Like I think everybody bailed except me. I went to the top of the hill.
Okay.
And came back down, but I was in the shape that you just saw in the previous picture.
But you're panting. You're out of breath, and your words were immortal words were.
I need a banana. And so I was just feeling like I was going to faint. And that seemed like that
you
was going to be the
solution.
You felt
very depleted. You were like very pale. You looked like you were going to pass out. And you said, I need a banana.
Somebody gave me a banana. And I went upstairs. I dried off.
Okay.
And I recovered.
It brought you back together. What is your favorite sermon series out of them all?
That is such a hard question. I really, really like Man Versus Himself.
Okay.
Thought that was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so many to choose from. Like, I could, you know, list a ton. But that one sticks out to me just because of the idea of preparing in advance for what you're walking into, you know, and how to, like, go to that place in your mind before you even get to the trial that you know is coming.
Awesome. Yeah.
Such good stuff.
So good. Now, I'll miss you. Did you have any childhood nicknames?
I did. Yeah.
What would that be?
Boo was one of them.
Okay.
They called me, and they would put that in different ways, like King Boo or Boo Bowers.
What we heard was there was a day when you...
Little Boo Bear?
Little Boo Bear?
Yeah, yeah.
So we thought maybe we could kind of just bring you back a little bit to your roots.
Oh,
just,
yes.
You know, Joshua Boo Bear.
Oh, yes.
Very good. We thought of a Skull Church time, too. Let's take you back in memory. Let's listen to this here.
I know what this is.
Skull! Skull.
Wait for it.
Okay,
so your mic wasn't on in the house.
The mic wasn't on in the house, but it was on in the webcast.
Okay.
And wherever that was being recorded. And so I started talking, but I couldn't hear myself, so I'd stop. And then eventually it came on in the house. I was supposed to introduce Britt Nicole.
I love how you maintain a high level of enthusiasm for each and every one. That's really hard to keep yourself up on that blade.
It was hard. And I think my voice actually got hurt because of that. But every time I was going for it.
Now let me ask you this, Boo Bear. What fruit of the Spirit are you going to be preaching on this weekend?
I'm going to be preaching on joy.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're so thankful for you. Can't wait to hear it. Come on, everybody. Let's hear it for Boo Bear Bowers.
Good morning. Thank you. You guys can take a seat. I am so, so excited to be preaching in the house this morning. I want to say thank you to Pastor Levi for the opportunity. And how about Pastor Levi and Jenny? Just such a power team that we get to serve God with and serve him under. And so thankful for them. And just so excited to preach on this topic of joy. It's such an important thing to me, and I think that hopefully you're going to get something out of this morning. You know, a lot of what you get out of this is determined by how you listen to it, how you receive it. So if you just put your heart in a place ready to prepare to hear from God's word, you're going to get more out of it. And I think that you're going to be like that this morning. Right? Awesome. Well... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not convinced, but Yeah, I've got to be here since pretty much the beginning of Fresh Life Church, and it's been a wild ride to see what God's done in the last 7 years across this state. I mean, it's nuts, the fact that we're opening our seventh campus, that people are impacted by this ministry across the state and even across the world. Who's excited to be a part of what God's doing in the Fresh Life House? It's amazing that each of us can have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing here. As Pastor mentioned, I just recently got married, May 1st. And if you weren't at the wedding, thank you. My beautiful wife is right here in the front row. And say hi to everybody, Em. Hey. She's so sweet, and I'm so excited. I'm so blessed to be married to her. And if you weren't at the wedding, you know, shame on you. It was an open invite. You could have all came here, but only some of you were here. You can still get me a gift. It's all good. We went on our honeymoon May 1st. Right afterwards, we got married May 1st, went to Europe, and I was blessed. Our brother-in-law, I guess, bought us plane tickets to go to France and to Italy, and it was incredible. Everything that you would expect. It was, you know, like amazing food and amazing coffee and amazing scenery and sights, and you know, it was awesome. Like everything you would picture in a honeymoon is what was going on, and we were so glad to be there. And everything in our honeymoon was pretty amazing. I mean, like 95 to 98%, absolutely amazing. Of course, you know, there were a couple little hiccups. Like in every trip that you take, there's always a couple setbacks, things you didn't plan for. We were driving at one point. We got to drive through Italy, and it was beautiful. And the only kind of downside is that there's like a million people everywhere. You know, you go to a small town, you think you're getting out of the big city and all the crowds and the traffic, but everywhere you go, just tons of people, tons of traffic, hard to get around. The nice thing, though, about driving in Europe is that the speed limits are more just suggestions. Unless you're driving by a cop, then it's, you know, that's not a suggestion. But everybody just tends to go as fast as they want, and that was kind of fun. But there's traffic everywhere. And so we were driving through Italy. We got stuck in traffic, and I had to go to the bathroom so, so bad. And I'm holding it. And you know, like those times when you're holding it in so long that you just, it's getting dangerous. You know, like you don't know what could happen. And I maybe wasn't quite at that point, but it was getting close. And so I was like, Emily, why don't you just, we're stuck in traffic. I was like, why don't you just hop over into the driver's seat, and I'll go over to this restaurant over here, use the restroom. I'll get back in the car. You'll have moved like just a few feet down the road, and then we'll all be good. And she was kind of hesitant about this plan. You know, she hasn't driven in Europe. We don't have a cell phone international data plan. She didn't on her phone, so no real way to get in touch with each other. But I was pretty much just getting out of the car. I thought it was in park. So it wasn't. Emily barely gets over to the driver's seat, hits the brake just in time, and gives me this look. And I haven't been married for long at this point, but I know that's not a good look. But I got to get going. So I run over to this restaurant. I can't find the restroom. And so I just find some bushes, you know, like that's the American thing to do. And I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble, if I'm going to get arrested. I don't know what, but I got to go. So I go, and then I get back to the car, or I'm running back to the car. It's been longer than anticipated at this point. So I'm kind of freaking out because I'm like, she could be gone. I don't know where she's at. So I'm running full speed down the street, and all these cars, I'm running against traffic. All these cars are facing me. I'm going as fast as I can, and I'm wearing like a totally new outfit that I had just got. I'm running, and then I just bite it hard. Like, I don't know if I've ever been running faster and fallen before. Like I slid, like emphasis on slide, across the pavement. And all these people are looking at me in their cars with their jaws just drop, like. But at that point, you know, like, what do? You just, you know, you're a man, right? You just bounce back up, like, no lapse of time at all. I think that's the quickest I've ever gotten off the ground. Like, I'm totally fine, you know, no big deal. Keep running down the street until my body tells me, no, you're not totally fine. It's about half a block down that I realize this. I start to limp, and I'm starting to even feel a little shaky because I'm, like, bleeding so bad. I cut up my knee really good. I really jacked up my hand. It's just recently gotten healed. And you know how your knee is typically like a round shape? Kind of became more of like a square. Like imagine like a Wendy's hamburger patty. You know how they have like the square patties? Imagine that, like, just but bigger, you know? So anyway, I find Emily. She had gotten out of traffic, but she just pulled over and parked and was smart. And so I found her. And when she sees me, she's not, you know, super stoked. Totally understandable. You know, bad husband move that I have just pulled here. So I know what I'm walking into. And she looks at me and she's a little frustrated. And I just show her my cuts. And I'm like, I had a fall. Immediately, the anger turned to compassion. Try that sometime. But all that to say that even in the best moments in life, none of us are exempt from difficulty. None of us are exempt from hardship. I mean, it can happen at any time, at any point, something unexpected you didn't plan for that could totally change your life even. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is a powerful force that can guard you from the toughest of circumstances. Something that's able to catapult you above any situation that you're in. That's able to be a safeguard for your soul. And that is joy. Joy. Joy is one of my favorite fruits of the Spirit. And during this series, we're going to take a deeper look at several fruits of the Spirit. But joy is something that I just absolutely love because it's this powerful, indestructible, undefeatable thing. And if you can have more of it in your life, you're going to see amazing things that God will do because of it. You know, Jesus is the best example if we want to find somebody who was filled with joy. I think a lot of times when we think of Jesus, we don't necessarily picture that in our mind. I don't know about you, but when I think of Jesus, I kind of think of, you know, somebody who's like intense and serious and maybe like gentle and kind, you know, and I'm not sure why. I don't know if you have that picture in your mind. Maybe it's because Jesus said some pretty intense, serious stuff. But do we think of, when we think of him, somebody who was filled with joy? Do we think of somebody who would smile? Somebody who would laugh with his disciples? Somebody who would just be fun to be around? And I believe Jesus was all of those things. I mean, you can't get kids to come around you if you're not a fun guy, and kids loved Jesus. Jesus was filled with joy. And Hebrews 12:2 tells us this about Jesus and joy. It's gonna be up on the screen. This is our main verse today. It says, for the joy set before him, we'll start at the beginning, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You see, the reason that Jesus went through the cross was for the joy that was set before him. That's some amazing joy. In order to go through the most horrendous, difficult, most torturous death that anyone has ever gone through, to be able to get through that, you have to have some serious motivation. And for Jesus, it was the joy that was set before him. That's what I've called this morning's message, is a joy to die for. A joy to die for. That's the kind of joy that God wants to give us. A joy that is so incredible that we would literally go through the most excruciating pain to obtain it because it's worth it. That's the kind of joy that God wants to give us. And I believe that we're going to see that here this morning. And you might be thinking, hold on, didn't we do a whole series on joy not too long ago? It was called like Rampart. It was a study through Philippians. It was amazing. We found out that joy is an impenetrable force, a barrier that can, I don't know if you remember the video. It was awesome, right? And British accent always makes things so much better. But if you haven't listened to that series, you need to go back and listen to that series. It was incredible. Goes into a lot of depth of joy and what it does. And, you might be wondering, well, why would we cover this again? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think I have enough joy in my life. I think I could use some more joy. Does anybody just feel like, I've just got too much joy? You know, like, I just don't even know what to do with it. It's just like, it's just, I got to get rid of some of it. You want some joy, you know? Or do we think I need more joy in my life? Like all the fruits of the Spirit. I want more love. I want more faithfulness. I want more peace. I want more joy. And so that's why we're going to take a look at this morning. Now, Jesus, I said, was somebody who was filled with joy. And I think that you can easily make a case for that because if anybody was the embodiments of the fruits of the Spirit, it was Jesus, right? If anybody ever had the fruits of the Spirit and didn't just have them, but had them in abundance, it was Jesus. Love, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. He had those and he had them to the max. So it makes sense that Jesus wouldn't just have had joy, but he would have been the most joy-filled person that you have ever met in your life. Jesus was marked by joy. And that's our first point this morning, marked by joy. You know, if Jesus was marked by joy, I think it only makes sense that we as his followers should also be marked by joy. But sometimes things try to get in the way of our joy, right? Sometimes they're crazy, big, difficult things like Jesus going through the cross. But for us, sometimes it can even be really small, minor inconveniences, right? Like for me, I could easily pick a ton of things to share as an example of things that can potentially rob my joy. But one of them is driving with other people on the road, you know? The thing that drives me crazy personally, this is my personal pet peeve when driving, is like when I drive, especially like a long distance, I'll put on cruise control, I'll set a speed, and I'm going that speed. I'm not like really speeding up or slowing down. I'm just going the speed that's on the cruise control. But then you get the people who you not only have to pass them if they're going slower than you, but you also have to pass their pride. Have you noticed this? Like you're passing them, but then as soon as they see that you're past them, they're like, I wasn't going that slow. No, I'm going way faster than that. And then they try to keep up with you. Then they get ahead of you and then they are slowing down again. And now you're trying to pass them again. I'm just like, let's just set the speed. If I'm going faster, fine. If you're going faster, fine. Let's just get the pride out of this and let's just move forward, right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's just a minor thing that could rob me of my joy. But we have also major things that try to rob us of our joy. But the thing that's amazing about joy is that the most difficult circumstance, if we have true joy, doesn't have to stop our joy. The craziest, most intense thing you've ever gone through, joy can keep you in the midst of that. And having joy in our day and age, it's a kind of a peculiar thing. I don't know if you noticed this, but if you have joy, you will stand out in this world. I mean, think about in your mind the people in your life that are marked by joy. You can probably think of them pretty easily because there's not a ton of those kinds of people. And this isn't just an American thing. This is in other parts of the world. We did a Skull Church event in Budapest, Hungary. And that's a culture that is particularly deprived of joy, I've noticed. We went out one morning and we were just having a good time. A couple of the team, we were just hanging out and laughing. And you know, we loved Jesus and we were just having a ball. And the people who looked at us from Hungary, like they looked at us like we were aliens. Like totally foreign, like what is joy, you know? And joy is so lacking in our world today. If you have it, you will be unique, you will stand out. And through that, God will use that to open doors to share Jesus with people. Because people will wonder what's different about you. People will be curious about what you have in their life or your life that they don't have in their life. And it's because the devil knows that joy is so powerful that he'll do anything he can to stop your joy. The devil will do whatever he can to rob you of joy, whether it's rubbing your past in your face or making you feel guilty over a blessing that God's given you, or even if it's a full-on attack of you or your health or your family, the devil will do whatever he can to rob you of your joy because the devil knows that joy is a weapon that can be used against him because your joy will turn people to Jesus. Your joy will make people be curious and want to know what you have in your life. So don't let the devil rob you of your joy. And here's my question to you this morning is what marks your life? What is your defining characteristic? When your name comes into people's mind, do they think, oh, that person is so pessimistic. That person is so serious. That person is so distracted. Or they think that person is just so filled with joy. Because I submit to you, that should be a defining characteristic of our life. If Jesus was marked by joy, we should be as well. Amen? Yeah. Now, before we go any further, I think it's important that we get on the same page as regards the definition of joy. Because if you're operating under the wrong definition of something, it can lead to problems, right? I know that this happens a lot in our world today. I'm not like a grammar Nazi, but I do like it when people use good grammar. And I do like it when people use the right punctuation and all those things. And one thing that kind of bugs me a little bit is this whole literally and figuratively thing, right? Everybody is saying literally all the time, and they don't mean literally at all, right? They mean the exact opposite of literally. They mean figuratively. Literally is like, it is exactly like this. It's not an exaggeration. It's not a picture. It's literally like this. But people use it in the wrong way all the time. I remember I had a friend who was in a meeting once and he was trying to get a raise for somebody who worked for him. And he was like, Brian is literally the oil that makes this machine run. No, he's not. Brian's a human. You know, he's got blood and like water inside of him, not oil, last time I checked. But literally, figuratively, people get it mixed up all the time. If you live under the wrong definition of something, it can lead to problems. And the dictionary definition of joy is no exception. In fact, it's way off according to what the Bible says. The dictionary defines joy as this: a great feeling or a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That is not joy, at least according to what the Bible says. And by the way, I wonder how many of us are having problems in our life because we're operating under the dictionary definition of something, or we're operating under the cultural definition of something instead of what God's word says about something. And if you would live under the definition of who God says you are and what God says about your life and what God says about this world, I guarantee you it will change things in your life. But sometimes we live under the wrong definition. And I want to break some of these misconceptions of joy up and show you what it really is. But in order to know what joy is, I think we got to start with what joy isn't, because we have so many wrong ideas. So our second point today is misconceptions about joy. Let's get rid of them. The first, and I think probably the most common misconception about joy, these are all pretty common, but is this: that joy is happiness. Joy is happiness. Joy is not happiness. Happiness and joy honestly aren't even related at all. Happiness is anything that makes you feel good, basically. That can be a good thing. It can be, you know, a good relationship, friendship, coffee, you know, whatever. Anything that you aren't worshiping but you're enjoying, that's a good thing. That can bring happiness. Also, bad things can bring you happiness for a moment. Sin can bring you happiness. You know, whatever sin it is that you enjoy brings you happiness for a short time, but doesn't ultimately make you joy-filled. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. It's kind of like a police officer can be in a donut shop, but not everyone in a donut shop is a police officer. You know? Sorry if you're a police officer. Like, joy and happiness can be in the same place at the same time, but they aren't related at all. So that's a misconception. The second misconception about joy is that joy is related to your circumstances. Joy is related to your circumstances. False. In fact, joy is never more evident than when you're going through bad circumstances. People like to think that their joy is related to how well they're doing, but if that's the case, when you're good and life is good, then everything is fine. But when life is bad and hardships come, then you're not good, and joy would be gone if it were based on circumstances. But it's when we go through the darkest times that joy shines the brightest. When people who are in the midst of suffering and hardship can stand up and say, I am ultimately okay because God is on my side, that is true joy. And Jesus is the best example of this, right? Nobody could prove this point any better than Jesus. Jesus had a hard life. In fact, he may have had the hardest life ever. He didn't grow up under privilege. He grew up in a poor household. The Bible says that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And Jesus did not have it easy. We've already established he went through a horrific death. And yet Jesus was more joy-filled than anyone. So Jesus breaks the misconception that joy is related to your circumstances. And the last one, just briefly, is that joy is a feeling. Joy is a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. Your feelings are up and down, constantly in flux. Joy is a rock. It's solid. So the dictionary definition is wrong in pretty much every aspect. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling of pleasure and happiness. So what is joy? How should we define joy? I think the Bible would define it as this, as close as I can get to it. It's kind of hard to bring an exact definition to joy. I think it's easier to point to what joy does than to exactly say what joy is. But the Bible, I think, would back up this definition, that joy is your soul's satisfaction in God. Joy is the soul's satisfaction in God. How many of us are looking to the things of this world to satisfy us? We're looking to more money, more sex, more power, more stuff, and ultimately it leaves us unfulfilled. So unlike Allstate, you are not in good hands with happiness. or your circumstances, or if you base your joy in anything on this world, it's going to ultimately disappoint. If you're trying to be satisfied in this world, it doesn't matter what it is that you're trying to draw satisfaction from, those things, when they're gone, will betray the fact that you never actually had joy. You just had a mirage based on your happiness. And if your joy is based on something in this world, when it's taken away, your joy is taken away. So it's better to base your joy on something that's eternal, something that's constant, something that will never change. And that is God, my friends. God is always good. God is always constant. God will never fail. I don't want to base my joy on stuff in this world that could be here one day and then be gone the next. I want to base my joy on something that's going to last through the hard times and through the difficult times and make me better because of it. That's joy. You could add this onto our definition of joy if you wanted to as well. Starting joy is our souls finding its satisfaction in God. Then you could say this, that joy is also believing that God is in control and that God is good. Because here's the deal. If you are a Christian, everything in your life that comes to you, ultimately, God has allowed to happen in your life. He's not surprised by it. Now, that doesn't mean that everything in your life that happens is good. By, you know, far and away, that is not true. The Bible says that God works everything together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good, but God is able to take the bad things and work them for good, and in the process, make you more like Jesus. And so if you're a believer, you have this unshakable confidence that whatever comes to you in your life was first okayed by God. And if you had just had that confidence, that probably wouldn't be enough. But the fact that you can say it's been okayed by God, and I know that God's character is good, and I know that God loves me, and I know that he won't let anything happen to me that's going to harm me, but it's just going to make me better in the end. Then you can walk into any situation. You can go through any circumstance with your head held high because you know that God has ultimately allowed this in your life. That gives you a spine of steel that allows you to walk through the most fiery trial and say, I know who is with me and I will not be afraid. How many of us, you can clap for that. How many of us walk around with our heads down, with the feeling that we're unsure if things are gonna work out okay, with fear, because we just don't trust that God is in control and that God is good? I know it's so basic, right? I mean, how many times in your life have you heard those things? But how much do we believe that? If we did, we would live totally different lives, lives with unshakable confidence, lives filled with joy. So that is true joy. And far from being an uncontrollable emotion, that kind of joy, you can choose. You can choose it. You don't have to be at the mercy of your feelings. You can say, I will satisfy myself in God because he is good. I will trust in him. Even when life is bad, God is good. You don't have to be at the mercy of your feelings, because faith that brings joy isn't based on feelings. Faith that brings joy is based on facts. A lot of people will say faith and facts, they contradict each other. They're two different things. You can't have faith and facts. You have to have one or the other. But I beg to differ, because my faith is based on some facts that I see in God's word. Fact, God is good. Fact, God is in control. Fact, he will never leave me or forsake me. Fact, everything that happens in my life will work for my good and make me more like Jesus. Fact, God is constant. He's reliable. He's faithful. He's unshakable. He's sure. He's eternal. That's the kind of thing that will bring you joy. Are you basing your joy on that? If you are, you will be unshakable. There's nothing better you can face or base your joy on. So hopefully we've shattered some misconceptions about joy. And I also want to say this morning, don't miss out on joy. That's our third point, missing out on joy. Because it's possible to miss out on the joy that God wants you to have. God has created you with an incredible capacity for joy. Like joy that you may not have even known was possible to achieve. God wants to give you joy, an incredible maximum joy, but we miss out on it oftentimes. And I want to touch on just a few reasons why. One reason I think we can miss out on joy is because we forget or we don't know that God wants us to have joy. Some people live under the misconception that God is out to get them, that God's going to tell them to do stuff that's just going to be really hard, and you just got to kind of get through it, and it's not going to be any fun. And I mean, we kind of can live with this idea that God is not out ultimately for our joy, but the Bible completely goes against that idea. The Bible says this, Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is upright. No good thing. God is not going to let anything that is good not happen in your life as you follow him. Everything that he wants to give you, he will. He won't hold back at all. And the Bible actually tells us to pursue our joy. It doesn't try to say that's not a good motive or you shouldn't pursue your joy. It says, yeah, this is going to bring you the most joy. Here's a couple examples. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. 1 John 1:4, and he's talking about why he's writing this entire book and everything that's inside of it. And he says, we write this to make your joy complete. God is jealous for your joy, people. God is more committed to your joy than you are. And anytime you disobey him, anytime you go against what he says, all you're doing is robbing yourself of joy. God has your best at heart. He won't ever tell you to do something that won't increase and expand your joy. I mean, Jesus understood this. We saw it in Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And he had to endure it. It was hard, right? It was not an easy thing to go through the cross. I mean, that's an understatement. They invented a word to describe the pain of the cross. Excruciating was invented to describe how hard it was to die at the cross. And Jesus even asked God, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. But he got through it. And what was his motivation? The joy that was set before him. So what's your motivation this morning? What is the thing that you're basing your serving God off of? Is it guilt? Are you like trying to serve God to get him off your back? If that's the case, you need to stop it. God never motivates with guilt. The devil motivates with guilt. And if you've ever been around a Christian who's motivated by guilt, you've been around a Christian who is not experiencing joy. Amen. They give Christians a bad name oftentimes because they're trying to get this burden off their back. But last I checked, Jesus took the burden for us at the cross. That's what this whole last series that we did was about, off the chain, right? You don't have to pay for your salvation. You don't have to earn your favor with God. You are off the chain. So don't live under guilt. Be motivated by joy. Be motivated for joy. And if you're serving God out of guilt, go back, listen to Off the Chain, and stop it. Don't do it anymore. You're not doing God any favors. It doesn't bring glory to God to serve him out of that motivation. A good father wants his kids to be motivated out of their best interests, right? Because he loves them. And God is the same way. So don't serve him out of guilt. Jesus also, his motivation was the joy that was set before him. What's that kind of joy that it's talking about here? Eternal. The eternal reward that his actions would reap. That he would redeem us. That he would forgive us. His joy was based on God's glory. And his joy was based on other people, not himself. That's the way to find the most joy. Maybe you've heard that cheesy acronym a million times. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Well, it's true. Put God first, put others second, yourself last. That's how you're going to find the most joy. And when you're going through a difficult time, remember, just like Jesus, you're storing up an eternal reward. You're storing up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, where thieves can't break in and steal. That's a secure joy. Anything you get on this earth could be gone in a moment, but whatever you store up in heaven is there forever. And it's not wrong to be motivated by that. The Bible wants you to have that. God's telling you, you can have incredible joy for eternity. And I think we can also miss out on joy because we don't live for the most important thing. The most important thing. And what is that? God's glory. That's the most important thing. That's what everybody and everything on earth was created for. Colossians spells it out clearly. We were created for the glory of God. And it's when we get that mixed up, when we try to put ourselves in the center instead of Jesus in the center, that's when everything is out of whack. Because the Bible says in Colossians that by him and through him and for him were all things made that were made. All things were made for Jesus. If you're miserable, maybe it's because you haven't put him at the center of your life. Maybe it's because you're living for your fame and your name and how much you can be known and recognized. If that's the case, you'll be miserable. Jesus is the best thing to live for. The Westminster Catechism, it's an old thing, an old document that some people came together who were Christians and they tried to define what is it that Christians believe? And they wrote out some questions and answers. If you ever want to read it, it's actually really cool, I think. I'm kind of a dork though, so I don't know if you'd like those types of things. But the first question they ask, maybe you've heard this before, they say, what is the chief end of man? Or what is our purpose? Why were we made? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's why you and I were made. And it's when you live with that as your focus and at the center of your life that you find meaning and purpose and joy. And when that's out of whack, your life will be out of whack as well. Live for his fame. Live for his name. I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes the most miserable people are the ones who are the most focused on themselves. I've heard it said, look within, be depressed. Look without, be distressed. Look at Jesus, be at rest. Don't look at people. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at yourself. You're not going to find joy there. Look at Jesus, and that will bring you ultimate and maximum joy. And I love the kind of the twist of this because like the Westminster Catechism says, it says that we glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's why we're made. But we also glorify God by enjoying him forever. You bring glory to the things that you love the most. It's natural, right? You bring glory to the things that you enjoy that bring you pleasure. Imagine you go to eat at a nice restaurant in another city and and what do? You tell your friends about it, right? You say, this was great. I loved it. You got to eat here. Or you see an amazing film or you listen to some great music and you enjoy it and you just naturally tell people about it. You bring glory to it. You say, this is the best thing ever. You got to check this out. Let me tell you, God is the best thing ever. You got to check him out. He's so great. He satisfies. The Bible says that if we drink the living water that he offers, we'll never thirst again. There is nothing on earth that can make that promise and fulfill it. Only Jesus can. Quit drinking from the well and the water of this world. Drink from the well and the water of Jesus and you'll be satisfied. And lastly, the place that you'll find maximum joy. Because we don't want just regular joy, right? We want maximum joy. I heard Jerry Seinfeld talking about how you can go to like a pharmacy and all the pain, you know, medication like Advil or ibuprofen, whatever. It always says maximum strength, right? Like strength isn't around anymore. Strength is off the market. It's like just maximum strength. Like that's the kind of pain I'm in. Give me the maximum allowable human dosage. Well, that's how we should feel about joy. I don't just want any kind of joy. I don't want just a little bit of joy. I want the maximum joy possible. And the Bible says you can find that in one place. Psalms tells us this. It's going to go up on the screen. That in your presence is fullness of joy. When we come together as a church, when we worship God together in one place, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Here in his presence, we get to experience a little bit of that fullness of joy. And then individually, as we spend time with him, we get to experience a little bit of that fullness of joy. And then when we unleash him, not just into the church, and we don't just relegate him to the time we come to church, the time we spend reading the Bible, but we let him be a part of everything we do in our day. We incorporate his presence into how we work, into how we talk with people, into how we give, into how we spend our money. Then we get to experience even more his presence, that's fullness of joy. And then ultimately, when we spend eternity with him, every sin and every hindrance and everything that's ever blocked us experiencing his presence fully is removed. And in his presence is fullness of joy. That's what makes heaven so great, people. It's not just the fact that you're reunited with your loved ones. It's not just the fact that there's no more sickness and death. It's that Jesus is there. And in his presence is fullness of joy.
Wow, that was incredible. Such good truth. We just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us online.
If at any point you made a decision to follow Christ during that teaching, first of all, congratulations. And second, we would love to know about it. You can click the Know God button. It's going to pull up a form. We're not going to send you any junk mail or Tupperware or anything like that. But we would love to send you some helpful resources in walking with God. It's going to include a Bible, a letter from Pastor Levi, and a few other things as well.
And let's be honest. Everybody's got a story. You have one. And on this website, on the bottom of the page, there's a little button that says Share Your Story. You can use that as a way to just tell us about how God has used the ministry of Fresh Life to impact your life. Those stories are like lifeblood for our staff, for our team, for everybody, because it just shows how God is using everything that we're doing, everything that He's doing through this church to impact people's lives. In the same light, if you wanted to support the ministry through giving, you can do that as well. At the top of the website, there's a button that says Give. You can support financially the work that God is doing through the church.
Hey, thanks again for watching. We hope to see you back here next weekend.